Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 27th through July 7th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. Immerse yourself in the gripping courtroom audio as justice unfolds in the chilling case of Tristan Bailey's murder. Witness the raw emotion, the powerful testimonies, and the unfiltered truth of Pure Evil, the sentencing of Aiden Fucci.
We are at segment number 6 in the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. It is raw courtroom audio. Let's head there now.
St. John's County Circuit Court is now in session. The Honorable Judge Smith presiding.
Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. Thank you. All right, let's go on the record in case 21-CF-825, State of Florida versus Aiden Fucci. Who do I have appearing on behalf of the State of Florida?
Jennifer Dutton.
Mark Johnson.
And on behalf of the defense?
Rosemary Eagles.
Correct.
And Mr. Fucci is also present. All right, we are ready to resume our sentencing hearing that we began yesterday. Are there any matters we need to address this morning before we move into the remainder of the victim impact statements? Anything from the state?
Not from the state.
Anything from the defense?
No, Your Honor, just a continuing standing objection based on the motion filed yesterday is all you'd ask for.
As far as to what?
The victim impact in the letters, but nothing new.
All right, that is... denied as well. All right, State, you may call your next victim impact statement.
State calls Alexis Bailey.
Alexis Bailey.
Perfect. My name's Alexis Bailey. I'm Tristan's second oldest sister.
And just so the court's aware, if you would just tell the court the order of the siblings.
So my oldest sister is Brittany Bailey. Again, I'm Alexis Bailey. I'm the second oldest sister, followed by my brother Tegan Bailey, Sophia Bailey, and then Tristan was the youngest of the family.
Okay. Go ahead. Thank you.
Of course. This jar now holds 114 stones, one for each of the 114 stab wounds that my sister had to endure. It was 1 hour and 42 minutes between when my sister was last seen and when Aiden Fucci was next seen, running out of the woods holding his shoes because his feet hurt. It's funny that such a simple statement can bring such anger. Aiden Fucci could show compassion for his sore feet, yet had nothing to leave for my beautiful sister. The number of questions I have for Aiden Fucci surrounding that night plague my mind. Did she see you coming at her with the knife, or did you stab her while she wasn't paying attention? Did she scream out for help, or was she paralyzed with agony? Did she cry for my mother? Did she beg you to stop? Did you hear her lungs gargling with blood, or did you see it in her face when she realized she could no longer breathe due to her collapsed lungs? What were her last words? Did you stay to watch her die, or did you leave her there in agonizing pain as you ran away? How long did she suffer? Did you watch the life leave her eyes? Do you know the answer to any of these questions, or were you too caught up in the thrill of the kill? The last time I heard my sister's voice was May 8th, 2021. I have racked my brains trying to remember the last words she said to me. Was it, I love you? Was it goodbye? Or did we say nothing at all? What I do remember is her walking out that door. I have nightmares about that moment. In my dreams, I try to reach out and grab her, beg her to spend the night, anything to prevent what happened just hours later, yet every time the door closes before I can get to her. The memories of May 9th will forever be ingrained in my mind, body, and soul. To know I was awake and only 11 minutes away from my sister as she was being brutally murdered. Could I have saved her? I remember the vivid feelings of my body collapsing on the ground as the police informed us that they had found a body. Then, finding out hours later it was Tristan's body, I remember becoming physically ill and having a detective grip my hair as my body uncontrollably expelled everything from my stomach between my sobs. The pain I felt in every nerve as I watched my dad lying on the floor, screaming in a way no human should ever be able to produce. Our family broke that day, and I don't recognize any of us anymore. I have watched my parents going from believing that they were good parents to believing they were failures. I have listened to my parents question, what did we do wrong? What kind of mother or father was I not to protect my child? I have watched them overanalyze every conversation, every action, trying to figure out what they could have done differently. I've watched my older sister, Brittany, become unrecognizable with anger. I've watched my brother, Tegan, emotionally shut down and avoid the family due to the pain being home causes. I've watched my younger sister, Sophia, completely lose her childhood and be cast into the role of being a parent and being the resident therapist for my mother. I've seen the changes in myself, the responsibilities and burden that I have had to undertake because of the actions of Aiden Fucci. I am the one who had the responsibility of speaking with the funeral home and forcing my parents to decide which urn to put what remained of Tristan in. I was the one who had to pick her up from the funeral home and make that long drive home with her ashes. I have what remains of her beautiful blonde hair, now stained red, sitting in my house, haunting me daily. I have had to become the safe place for my parents and hold space for their feelings. I have had to commit every detail of Tristan's murder to memory so that when ever and someone has a question, they need only ask and not be burdened with looking up the answers themselves through the hundreds of pages of court documents and police records. I bear the thoughts that one day the trauma we have all been through because of the actions of Aiden Fucci will cost the lives of my other family members. I have been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. I have been unable to work at times during this process due to the trauma and PTSD attacks triggered by knives, blood, and open wounds. My relationships have suffered. My physical and mental health has diminished, and my goals for the future have seemingly disappeared. Aiden Fucci didn't just take Tristan's life that day. He took everything from us. Our family, sense of security, laughs, health, and potential. For us, justice does not exist in this case, and closure does not exist in this case. Peace, understanding, and forgiveness will never come. The duty of this court today is to determine and weigh all the factors in this case, to decide the just sentence for the crimes Aiden Fucci committed, with retribution and potential rehabilitation sadly being considered. The only justifiable sentence in this case is a full life sentence. Anything short of that would be an insult to not only our justice system and community, but to our family and Tristan's legacy. Lastly, I would like to add my own stone to the 114 that I added for Tristan. This white stone represents my trust in people, which died the day that Aiden Fucci chose to kill my sister. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Alexis. State would call Tegan Bailey. Start whenever you're ready.
Your Honor, on Saturday, May 8th, 2021, I came home to spend time with family and to celebrate Mother's Day the following day. When I arrived home that afternoon, we quickly made plans to go to dinner. My dad, mom, Sophia, Tristan, my niece, and I went to dinner. There wasn't a single sign that this would be our last night together, what I believe was Tristan's last meal. Shy of my older sisters, Brittany and Alexis, being present, the dinner was perfect. My niece was playing with her food, trying to crawl under the table. We talked about when we lived in Singapore. My dad supplied ample comedy and smiles in a way that only siblings can. Tristan and I silently made a pact and messed with Sophia during dinner, the way only siblings know how to do. It was perfectly imperfect. I would give anything to either stay at the table a few minutes longer or to have had Brittany and Alexis there as well. Following dinner, we visited Alexis and then went home. I went on a late walk with Sophia to reach my exercise goal for the day, which I talked with Tristan about when we got back. Finally, Sophia, Tristan, and I started to watch TV. I began to fall asleep on the couch until I finally excused myself to go to bed. Every single day, I can't help but wonder what would have happened had I slept on that couch instead, or if I had stayed up later. Tristan was a 13-year-old. She had a personality brighter than fireworks, and she was being a teenager. But had I slept on that couch that was within earshot of our front door, there's a possibility my little sister could still be alive today. I have lived with that question, that weight, and that guilt since I went to wake up Tristan on Mother's Day and found her room empty. The day we lost Tristan, I began running mentally and emotionally to try to cope and survive. Anytime I slow down, every detail of that day, this court process, and the memories of Tristan flood my mind and threaten to cripple me. So mentally, I put this all into a box and I run from it. I will run to school, to work, to friends, and at times, I ran to alcohol. I was desperate for anything that would numb and convince me that this is not real life, rather a sick and cruel nightmare I can't seem to wake up from. This is real, though. My baby sister, who always had a sassy reply ready and a heart filled with kindness, is gone. The depression, anxiety, and post-traumatic stress disorder is real. The weekly therapy sessions to learn how to cope and make it this far is real. The waves of anxiety I experience when I walk around Durban Crossing at night are real. Every time I see or use a knife, the intrusive thoughts of the damage that they can inflict is real. The nights where sleep is replaced with the heinous details of what Tristan suffered are real. The nights where I drank to black out and put myself in danger are real. The week-long depressive episodes where I break down and struggle to leave my bed are real. The classes I withdrew from because grieving and being a student was too much are real. The breakdowns that erupt from songs that remind me of Tristan are real. Even things as small as a red cardinal bird will bring my day to a stop. There's an old wives' tale that when you see a red cardinal, it is someone from heaven checking on you. I can only hope that each one is a sign from Tristan telling me she's still cheering me on. Yet they are each a painful reminder of what I have lost. They are each a reminder of how I failed Tristan. Despite countless reassurances, I continually weather by sleeping on that couch, being at home more, reaching out more, or mailing other things if I may have been able to prevent her death. But no matter how much I may try to run, distract, or numb myself, this is my reality. Reality where aqua and teal fill me with pride, love, and pain. Reality where I am terrified and furious at other teenage boys because a single 14-year-old broke my family. Reality where instead of a cheer trophy, a family portrait, or a million other things, my sister's remains sit on a shelf at home in an aqua urn that glimmers brighter than a star. Reality that is so painful to live in, I continue to run and numb myself to it, trying to escape the pain and reminders of what I have lost. In the process of trying to numb myself and outrun this, I cause myself to lose even more. By not handling my grief head on, academically, I sacrificed a multitude of opportunities within my courses and with professors. Socially, I was alone. While I have an astounding support system where I live in Gainesville, Tristan's story and her spirit are not as well known there as they are in St. John's. Few are able to understand the hardship of losing a family member, much less losing them to a gruesome homicide. I felt that I became a burden and disconnected from a multitude of people that I once treasured. Despite the fact that these were the very people trying to support me, emotionally I shut down every time I was asked, "How are you doing?" As there are no words to convey the misery that was born from my grief and my sense of isolation. I would like to address Mr. Aiden Fucci. Today I want to take the time to address whatever humanity you still possess. Since learning of your existence and the agony inflicted upon my family, I have convinced myself you are something other than human. I refuse to use your name to believe that you are a regular person. To believe that you were human would be to accept that the darkness that has marked my family could come from ordinary people, something which causes me to lose all hope. So I convince myself you must be something less than human and that people can still be good. But you are human. Between investigative evidence and individuals in the St. John's community, my family and I have learned more about your life than we ever cared to know. Part of this included learning that you have siblings and a younger sister at that. I'm sorry, I lost my place. I have four sisters, two older and two younger sisters, including Tristan. While you may have siblings, I don't believe you know what it means to be a brother. Having siblings is a job, a responsibility, and a privilege. Being a brother to sisters means being there to support them, to listen, to celebrate them, and to be there for them when they're in need, and so much more. You took one of my sisters away from me. I will not get to drive her to cheer, listen to her spill the tea, celebrate her achievements, or spoil her with trips to Starbucks for a double chocolate chip grande frappuccino. If I ever have children, none of them will ever get to meet their aunt. I will never get to brag to others about Tristan's determination and her persistence in pursuing her goals. Because when Tristan had a goal, she accomplished her goal. Because of your actions, I cannot fulfill my role as Tristan's big brother. While I am so fortunate to be blessed with three other amazing and unique sisters who inspire me and remind me of what life has to offer, you took away my baby sister. I want you to think of your own siblings, your own sister. Just as I have lost my sister, they have lost their brother. At the end of this, you will be in prison. They will not get to lean on you for support. You won't be able to celebrate with them or grow old with them. They have lost their brother. You have lost your siblings. You have failed as a brother. My siblings and I didn't just lose a sister. My parents lost a daughter. Tristan's friends lost a goofball who brought a smile by walking into the room. The cheer community lost a teammate who was an unwavering pillar of spirit and perseverance. The world lost a young woman who, after binge-watching Grey's Anatomy, became inspired to become a doctor. We lost the chance to see Tristan graduate high school. We lost the chance to see Tristan attend and graduate college. We lost the chance to see Tristan find love and have her own family. Not only do we have to grieve Tristan and her past, we have to grieve the person she did not have a chance to become and everything she never got to do or achieve. Since losing Tristan, I've heard through countless conversations what can happen to her murderer. This court is able to impose between a 40-year sentence up to a life sentence. Several weeks ago, we sat in this building as the court reviewed a motion to limit autopsy photos to be shown during the trial, a trial which we fortunately did not have to go through. Among several things that came out during that hearing, I recall that there were 6 wounds that had been considered fatal. However, even in shy of these 6 wounds that my sister suffered, no one would have been able to survive the cumulative 108 other wounds. My sister was stabbed 114 times. 49 of those wounds were defensive. While some may view these as simple facts of the case, these are the thoughts that will plague the mind of Tristan's community, friends, family, and myself for the rest of our lives. Tristan's fought for her life, and my mind has tormented me since with all of the details of what she went through and what she must have felt. This is a burden we collectively have to carry for decades to come. In light of this, a life sentence for her murderer seems nearly merciful. His wrongdoings reaped not only the remainder of Tristan's life, but cursed the lives of countless others. Why should he be allowed to serve a single sentence while so many others must serve our own sentences because of their choices? If it were possible, I would plead the court to give a harsher sentence than life. But in the light of the current state of the law, I can only hope that he will be given the maximum sentence. I add this stone for the hope and belief I had in people being good that died the day that Aiden Fucci murdered my sister.
State calls Brittany Bailey.
Your Honor, my name is Brittany Bailey Russell, and I am Tristan's oldest sibling. When I was told we had the opportunity to write an impact statement, I immediately got to work. Writing comes natural to me, but I knew the importance this statement would hold, and I knew I needed more time than any piece I had written in the past. For months, I have attempted to put pen to paper to express the magnitude of this catastrophe we face every second of every day. Yet every time I met with complete writer's block. Not the kind of writer's block where you have nothing to say, but the kind of writer's block where you cannot find words impactful enough to describe the devastation this has caused on my family. Your Honor, I could stand up here today and tell you what little I can remember from May 9th, 2021, how I was on day one of my honeymoon with my husband and woke up to an alarming call from my sister Alexis saying, "Brace yourself, we can't find Tristan. We're about to post it on social media." I could express the sense of darkness and terror I felt just being over 1,900 miles away from my panic-struck family, feeling absolutely helpless that I could not search, comfort, or engage with my squad, as Tristan would put it. I could even go into great detail about the blood-curdling and excruciating screams that ejected from my dad's lungs, the bottom of his lungs, while my husband and I sat on the other end of that FaceTime call, crumbling to the MGM hotel room floor, sobbing our eyes out, praying to God the news of where Tristan was wasn't our biggest fear. And if the court really wants to hear the most graphic of it all, I could tell you about the days to follow when I heard the fatal wail that bursted from my mom in the other room when Detective Hannon delivered the news to just my parents on how Tristan died that Mother's Day. I wasn't even privy to the no at that point, but the crippling sound that my mom let out, I knew it was something unimaginable. I remember this torturous feeling that took over my body as I ran to the bathroom, slamming the door, banging both hands on the wall, screaming, "Why? How? How is this happening?" I didn't stop until my dad ran in, grabbed me, hugged me, and kept telling me, "Be brave for your mom. Do it for your mom." As later we learned, that friend Tristan thought she had ambushed our youngest Bailey by stabbing her 114 times, over and over and over, to the point where, you know, we all know, she fought her fight and had nothing left in her body to give. And yet he continued, like an absolute coward. You, Aiden Fucci, decided to overpower a 5'3" innocent 13-year-old girl. How much more of a coward could you possibly be? Those feelings that took over my body that day, I could go my whole life without feeling again. I can promise you one thing. I do not ever want to be that brave in my lifetime yet. Here I am, standing in front of this courtroom, exposing my vulnerability, peeling back layers of my PTSD in this unsafe and very overwhelming environment. While I sit here publicly reliving tad bits of our worst nightmare, I recognize that none of these horrific memories will bring Tristan back. It truly just pains me more to have to relive them, to talk about it, to feel those feelings all over again like it happened yesterday. What I can confidently express to the court is, since my sister's murder, I agonize at the thought of leaving Florida for travel, something that was once engraved in my DNA. I lack prioritizing my husband, and I care little, and my parents openly allowed her zoo to live under their roof. Tegan's draw to coffee and books at University of Florida enticed him to continue on to grad school, which my parents could not be more proud of. Sophia, our lacrosse all-star, was just accepted to Colorado Mesa University to play goalie, and once again, my parents could not be more on board, even though this means there are two flights between their child and them. And as for Tristan, cheerleading was her life, and because it was her life, it was my mom's life too. My parents have sacrificed their needs and wants for their children for 30 years. I've never met such selfless people. And to think one of the five of us won't get to see that fully through, Your Honor, I can't put a word to it. Agony isn't painful enough. Shattered to the core doesn't crumble like how I feel. Infuriated doesn't even come close to touching the amount of rage I find myself trapped in. And let me tell you, justice is just a word for comfort. It doesn't bring her back. It doesn't allow her to see if she would have made worlds or become a college cheerleader. It does nothing but put this inhumane, cold-blooded killer away for good. I ask you to remember how much my sister lost and will continue to lose as the years pass by because of one vile decision this ruthless, unremorseful villain made. His apology was a waste of oxygen and meant nothing. It was cold, it was callous, and it was disheartening, and it left my family feeling absolutely tormented. Once again, a word not pungent enough to express the degree of what we felt, but it's the best the dictionary could offer. In Tristan's name, I will fight till the end to make sure my children, my siblings, my family, and our community will never see Aiden Fucci in society again. I respectfully ask for you to do the same. This white stone represents my loss in faith in our school systems to keep violent children away from the innocent. We are forever Tristan Bailey Strong. Thank you.
Thank you, Brittany. Next, we would call Ms. Jean Sheffield. State your name and then just tell the judge real quick your relationship to the family.
My name is Jean Sheffield. And Your Honor, before I read my statement, I would like to read this excerpt from Lorraine and Glenn Bailey, the other grandparents in this case who could not be here. Your Honor, I know his sentencing hearing is with charge of murder. Consideration should be for the younger, lovely, good young victim, our 13-year-old granddaughter, Tristan. Glenn and I are family, friends, and the incredible number of good people in this world who know her story are outraged at his viciousness and need to know he will be put behind bars for the rest of his life, so he can never hurt another innocent person and inflict pain of loss on that person's family and loved ones. And if there is the possibility that this letter will be considered by future parole boards, even if he shows signs of remorse, the rate of repeat offenders by freed parolees is too much of a chance that he will return to his wicked ways. Caring, good, intentioned people tell us that sentencing will give us closure. That word implies finality and a possible end to the pain of living without her and dealing with our memories. Rubbish. There's not a day or night we won't live with the awareness of her physical absence, nor do we want that. What we do want and what Tristan deserves is justice. The justice of knowing he will spend the rest of his life behind bars, reminding him of the heinous crime he committed, and that he will never have the opportunity to hurt another innocent being. May I ask your awareness of another crime that he caused is still occurring and will follow us for the rest of our lives. When you commit a murder, you are also guilty of stealing their future. He is a thief. My husband's life and mine, my family, the cheer family she adopted and adopted her, and the countless people who have come to know her through Stacy's weekly Facebook messages, our lives will never be the same. He has stolen the joy of everyday life with her, her enthusiasm, her insistence on being included for any family event, her wordy description of the day's happenings, especially to whomever the chauffeur of the day was, her anticipation of being together with her friends and whole family on Sunday, or as it was known, Bailey Family Fun Day, and her interaction with each of us in a different, special way. He has stolen some of the family dynamic, and we all have to find a new sense of normalcy. There is another unknown loss he caused, the tremendous amount of good she gave to the world in her short life, the awareness of her story on the importance of kindness and caring to others, and her signs from heaven, all extraordinary. We don't know what career path she would have chosen in life, but if she did all of this in her 13 years on this earth, imagine what she could have done in adulthood. Your Honor, at 86, I know my time is limited in living with her loss, but please consider how her murder impacted my life and the lives of so many. Justice demands that you take away his freedom. Thank you for your time and any consideration you may give to my impact statement. That would be Lorraine and Glenn Bailey.
And those are the parents of four.
Four parents, correct.
Ms. Sheffield, you are Stacy Bailey's mother.
I am Stacy. Thank you for allowing me to tell this defendant how he destroyed my life. While I choose to not speak his name, Please know that this impact statement is directed to the defendant in this case. My name is Jean Sheffield. I am Tristan Bailey's maternal grandmother. I flew to Singapore, where Tristan was born, in January 2008 and held her for the very first time. In 2017, I moved from Denver, Colorado, in order to spend as much time as possible with my daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren. Had I even dreamed you would cut my time with Tristan so short, I would have never left her side. I am very grateful for the years I had with her here in Florida, but it wasn't enough. You stole from me the lifetime I was supposed to have with her. You stole that from all of us. Because of you, life for my family and me has been a living hell since Mother's Day of 2021. From the moment my daughter called me that morning stating that they couldn't find Tristan, that she was not in her bedroom and was missing, my reality and the reality for all of us has shifted on its axis. Life has become a nonstop nightmare because of you. In the hour it took me to drive to Tristan's home, I had convinced myself I would arrive to see her being lectured by her parents. Instead, I arrived to a war zone. Police cars, a helicopter circling overhead, bloodhounds searching, and dozens of people from the community trying to find Tristan. It was chaos. It was insanity, and it made no sense. None of this has made any sense. You made the deliberate decision to destroy our lives. Why, and to what end? As a mother and a grandmother, my only desire has been to take this pain away from my family. I've watched every member of my family literally drop to their knees in utter despair, and I can't fix it. I can't do anything to help them, and they can't do anything to help me. You are the one that did this to our family. I literally can't comprehend the evil in you. You have completely destroyed not only my life, but also the lives of Tristan's mom and dad, her siblings, her paternal grandparents. You have irreparably damaged Tristan's friends, her cheer family, and even the people who have never had the opportunity to have her incredible spirit in their lives. Tristan will never get to experience going to high school, prom, learning to drive, graduating, going to college, having a boyfriend, husband, or children of her own. She will never get the opportunity to guide her niece into the world of cheer, the world that Tristan loves so much. We will never get to experience Tristan's excitement and watch her meet those milestones. You stole that from us. The first thought I have upon waking each and every day is that Tristan isn't here, that she isn't coming down the stairs or coming through that front door. Not only is she not here, she was ripped from us with utter malice and evil in the most hideous way possible. I don't possess the words to tell you how we all miss her amazing smile, her laugh, her bubbly personality, her enthusiasm, her determination, and even her sassiness. Oh, what any of us would give to hear a little sass from her at this moment. Holidays will never be the same for our family. Our lives will never be the same again. Every night when it's dark outside, the anxiety of imagining the fear she must have felt with each stab of your knife is too much to bear. I sleep usually no more than 2 hours at any given time, and I almost always wake up in a panic attack. You have impacted not only my physical health and mental health, but my family's as well. The pain, grief, and sadness you have inflicted upon our family and friends, as well as the entire community, is incomprehensible. And you chose this. You chose this. How dare you? And yet, you get the freedom to still be alive. You ripped that same freedom away from Tristan that early morning of May 9, 2021. You did it deliberately and with unspeakable malice. You planned this. You put forethought and effort into it. You went out of your way to spread this evil into our lives. Your actions are beyond senseless and horrific. The only thing that even approaches justice is that you go to prison for life and that you will not be able to hurt anyone else or destroy any more lives. No, I do not forgive you, and I don't accept any pathetic apology you might offer. In my opinion, you apologized only when it became abundantly clear that the consequences of your actions were imminent. I hope these consequences truly are inescapable and that you are sentenced to life in prison. In 25 years, when your case is reviewed, I pray that people looking at it realize there is literally no other justice than to keep you behind bars until the end of your life. This is the least of what you deserve. This white stone represents the loss and happiness and emotional stability for me and my family, which died on the day this defendant chose to murder our granddaughter. Thank you.
State's going to call next Gia Bauer. Microphone down a little bit. Tell us your name and your age, and then you can read your letter, okay?
My name is Gia Bauer, and I'm 15 years old. Tristan Bailey was my best friend. She's the person I'd call when I had a bad day or had something exciting to share. Tristan was born in Singapore, and since I'm from Korea, we bonded over being over Asian sisters. We took care of hairless cats all summer, watched movies, and made TikToks. We loved to listen to music. We shared the love of cheer. We traveled together and had countless sleepovers. And when we were not able to go to each other's homes, we would FaceTime all night and have virtual sleepovers. Her family called me their bonus child. We went to our first concert together, and she's also the one who gave me my first concussion doing unauthorized cheer stunts. I talked to Tristan every day. We had a connection that cannot be explained. We were always on the same page. She was my person, and Aiden Fucci took her from me. Since May 9th, 2021, I've carried a sadness that never goes away. I've been lost. There's not just one part that is sad, but all of me. I no longer have my best friend. She won't be able to experience life. We won't be able to go to dances together. We won't be able to be bridesmaids at each other's weddings, and we won't be there to experience having children together. Initially, it was a surreal feeling, and I could not believe she was no longer here. The person I needed to get through such a tragedy with was not here. I would think about texting her for comfort and remember I would never receive any words back from her. Losing Tristan has changed the way I see the world. I once believed people were good and that the world was a happy and safe place. Now I struggle to see the good in the world. A sense of security has been taken. I no longer trust the way I once did, and a sense of joy is missing. I fight not to be a negative or bitter person. I used to love cheer, and now without her here, it will never be the same. I changed my Starbucks order because I could not bear to get the double chocolate chip frappuccino we used to drink together. We had a playlist called Rock and Roll, and I've not been able to listen to it since she was taken. I avoid so much now, even people. I used to be known as Tristan's best friend, and now my identity has changed. It's hard to be in public because people come up to me and want to talk to me about tea. It is always with kindness, and people have the best intentions, but for me, it's just another reminder. She is no longer here, and she never will be. Aiden, you ruined so many lives. You took away my beautiful, joyful, loving friend. She is never coming back. And the pain you caused so many will last the rest of our lives. You still get to live, she doesn't. I ask the court that you spend the rest of your life in prison so you never have the opportunity to hurt another person and cause as much pain to anyone else. This white stone represents my innocence, which died the day Aiden Fucci chose to murder my best friend.
You okay to keep going or? Okay. You're on call. Stacy Bailey? Whenever you're ready, Ms. Bailey.
Your Honor, I am Stacy Bailey. I am Tristan Tyne Bailey's mother, or as her friends called her, T. Not many know what Forrest and I faced during our pregnancy with Tristan. We were moving to another country, Singapore, when I found out I was expecting another child. To say the least, it was a surprise as we thought we were done after having four children. I was terrified to be pregnant in a foreign country, but soon found myself with amazing medical care. I was put into a high-risk category and I had a high-risk doctor because we were told that Tristan potentially had Down syndrome. And then it got worse from there as they found a spot or potentially a hole in her heart. We faced every day wondering if she would be okay. The fear was constant, which was incredibly difficult on my family. We prayed every day that she would be okay. But never once did we ever question that she was wanted and loved no matter what. Our prayers were answered when she came into this world with no signs of a spot on her heart and she did not have Down syndrome. In time, we learned that Tristan's heart was stronger than most, and it would be a gift that she would share with the world. We soon learned that she was a child that needed to be front and center from day one. Tristan Tyne had she was incredibly loud from the get-go. She never really cried. It was more like a scream, ear-piercing at times. Growing up in Singapore for the first 4 years of her life was amazing. Her siblings and her had an incredibly close bond. But she had a bond with me that was unbreakable. Boris used to say, "Nobody else seems to matter except for you, Stacy." She was always a very social child, always striving to do the best in every aspect of her life. She joined the cheer world at a very young age and pushed herself to be the best that she could be while always encouraging others. At school, she had excellent grades and had many friends. One of the things that stood out to me the most was how she fiercely protected others from being bullied. Tristan truly had a heart of gold. For me, I have always loved being a mother and vowed endlessly to love, teach, and protect my children. I spent so many weeks traveling with Tristan for cheer over the years. I was lucky enough to have a lot of one-on-one time with her. During these times, we would have conversations about friends, school, the good, the bad. I will never forget conversations about one boy in particular who was always getting in trouble in her class for years. I always ended the conversation with, "Just be kind to him. He probably needs friends. He probably doesn't have many." Little did I know that she did that over the years. At Tristan's celebration of life, a boy waited in a long line of people to speak with me. To be honest with you, he's the only thing I really remember from that day. Everything else are just brief flashes of memories. He waited for so long to speak with me, and the tears poured out of his face. His words still resonate with me to today. He said, "She was my best friend. She was my only friend. I spent more than a month month trying to figure out who this boy was. It turned out to be the same boy that we had talked about so often. At that moment, I knew just how extra special my daughter was and how she truly learned a valuable lesson of just be kind. I will treasure these moments and lessons taught for the rest of my life. I, however, failed in one lesson. I did not know that I needed to teach Tristan to be afraid of the evil in her own school, to be cautious and fearful of the people you think are your friends. Aiden Fucci, you betrayed us all. I have seen the traumatic impact of Aiden's horrific actions and how they have affected all that knew and loved Tristan. I have watched her friends become afraid to go to school and fearful of who they could and could not trust. I have watched the depression, the PTSD, the anxiety take over so many. Worse than anything, some of these feelings go so deep that several kids have tried to take their own lives from this incident. I carry the weight of this on my shoulders every single day. The guilt eats away at me. While I know it is not my weight to bear, it doesn't change the fact that I feel this. I feel that I have to protect and be there for each of her friends to let them know how much they mean to me. Aiden Fucci has destroyed so many lives by his vicious choice to take my child's life. I want to bring you to the weekend of Mother's Day, May 9th, 2021. It was Friday night, and we were preparing for an event at our business. Tristan came to me asking me if she could go to Food Truck Friday because all of her friends were going from school. I immediately said no because of our work event, and I could not go with her. You see, she had only gone one other time, and I was not willing to let her go without supervision. She begged to go with one of her friends that I had not met, but said that I could meet her parents as they would be watching over her. I agreed that if I met the parents and felt comfortable, I would consider letting her go. I drove to her friend's house, I met the mom, and we agreed that the girls could go as the dad would be taking them and bringing Tristan home too. It was reassuring to meet another family who had the same parenting style as us. This night is where the weekend starts to crumble in hindsight. You see, Your Honor, many kids that night planned to sneak out, not thinking anything could go wrong. They just thought they were going to be having fun and hanging out together. Saturday night arrives. It was just a normal day around our house. I can remember Sophia and Tristan planning what they were going to be making me for a surprise breakfast that next day, Mother's Day. They asked me to stay in my room until it was ready. Later that day, we went to dinner, and then we went to see our daughter Alexis and her new litter of Sphinx kittens. We didn't stay long because we were all tired. How I wish I had never gone to bed and stayed up longer. The next morning, Sophia prepared breakfast by herself, as Tristan never came down to help. Needless to say, my Mother's Day morning was soon filled with panic as my son informed us that Tristan was not in her room as he went to tell her it was time for breakfast. I thought to myself, this can't be. She must be in the bathroom or her sister's room. I immediately ran upstairs to indeed find she was gone. We all frantically were yelling for her and running through the house with no reply from our precious daughter. Forrest yelled for me to call the police, and this is where our nightmare went into full force. My heart was pounding with every second that passed, pleading with the police to help me. We soon found ourselves calling our friends on the phone, using social media, and yelling in the streets for anyone to help us. How could this be? This crazy thing of social media is there is always a trail. And we knew within an hour who Tristan was last with. I thank God for that trail, even though I find some of social media to be the bane of my existence. The minutes turned into hours of not knowing where our daughter was. I called her phone, as so many did, for it just to go to voicemail. Everything that happened that day is a blur. I do know that there were so many people trying to help find our daughter. Our community was there for us and completely put their Mother's Day plans aside. At some point around 2 o'clock in the afternoon is when my mother saw a dragonfly. And she said to me, "Stacy, look, it's good luck. They're gonna find her." Unfortunately, I shoved my mother as hard as I could and started yelling at her. Because in that moment, I knew my child was not coming home. I tried desperately to apologize for pushing her, but it was such an uncontrollable moment. You see, when my father passed away, I was surrounded by dragonflies, and it has soon become a symbol of my guardian angel. 4 more agonizing hours passed before I found myself sitting in our home with family and several detectives. We waited for the news that we could have never been prepared for, pleading to God to not let this happen to my family and to not take our baby girl away from us. I cannot tell you all the details of what happened when we went inside, as my brain has hidden them in my memory somewhere deep inside. I have very few memories of that day. Your Honor, what I'd like to do is share one night from a recent journal of mine this past month. It's 1:05 a.m. My eyes pop open in fear, and I try to orient myself as to where I am or if I am safe. I walk myself from the couch to my bedroom and try to get some more sleep. It's 2:05 a.m., again, startled awake. It's 3 a.m., I'm startled awake again, as I am every night, multiple times a night. My head is pounding in pain, my thoughts are racing, my anxiety is high, my chest is tight. The thoughts immediately start. The time tells me that it's over. Tristan lost her life by now. Visions flood my head, how terrified she must have been. What went wrong in that moment of betrayal from someone she thought was her friend? Did she know it was coming? Did you wait for her back to be turned? The first strike of the knife, the fearful shock she must have had. The second strike, what is happening? I can only imagine she tries desperately to fight him off. Why is this happening? He continues to strike over and over and over as she continues to fight. My chest pain grows tighter, and the tears are now flowing. Was she screaming for help? Did she try to reach for her phone to call for help? Tristan's desperation to live and get away from him continues until he overpowers my child. He continues stabbing her even when there is no fight left. These visions are embedded in my mind. Her beautiful blonde hair, her smile, her irresistible laughter have all been snuffed out. The guilt I have that I was not there to protect Tristan plagues me. My thoughts continue, and I cannot get it out of my head about the pain Tristan felt. I think about how one small slip of a knife, I cut my finger while cutting fruit, and it hurt so much that I almost fainted. I pray she passed out. But honestly, with the amount of defense wounds, I know she did not. She fought, and our beautiful daughter suffered for so long as he took no mercy in the 114 times you stabbed her. My heart is pounding so hard now, I think it could come out of my chest. Oh my God, please tell me this is a bad dream. Tell me that I will wake up from this horrific nightmare. The pins and needles have started in my head. The trauma migraine is here. They always come. I beg and plead with myself to just stop thinking for 5 minutes so that the pain goes away. It only increases until sharp stabbing pains take over my head, which can bring me to my knees and screaming in pain. This is my new normal, every day, all day. My new life, sentenced to the torture of my child being murdered. Please stop thinking, just go to bed, just for a few moments to relieve the pain. It's now 3:46. I try to close my eyes, but it only lasts for a brief moment as the fear is overwhelming. The darkness scares me. What is waiting to harm me out there? Will I ever have peace? No, how can I without Tristan? It's 4:15 a.m. Sirens are going off that send me running to the living room only to find out it was on the TV. The panic is now starting to elevate to the point I can't control my anxiety. Images race through my mind of the helicopters, the police sirens, the bloodhounds, and worst of all, the police asking me to come in my house. I remember falling to my knees, begging them not to make me go inside. I knew that that meant she was never coming home at that horrific moment. The darkness of the night surrounds me, and I live in constant fear of what might harm the rest of my family. A memory flashes and enters my mind as Detective Hannah knocked on my door at 3:40 in the morning that night to let us know that an arrest had been made. God, please make this stop. Wake me up from this nightmare. I want to run and find Tristan, but then I am met with the reality she is gone. Am I losing my mind? This cannot be real. I question God. Why, oh why, did you not protect her? How could you let evil touch her? Why, God, why? This is my sleep pattern every single night for 97 weeks. Sleep deprivation at its finest. The sleep deprivation is taking a toll on me mentally and physically. I do not recognize the person looking at me in the mirror. How I wish it was someone else. The sleepless nights bring black circles under my eyes, and the swelling from the constant tear and the stress have aged me beyond my years. I have memory loss, and I live in constant brain fog. Trying to put complete thoughts together can be very challenging. I now suffer from pins and needles in my head many times a day, along with chronic migraines. My hair is breaking and falling out due to all of the stress and anxiety. The PTSD from Mother's Day has had many impacts. I run into my house at the first sign of a helicopter or sirens, and I now have a genuine fear of being outside in the dark. I check my children's location multiple times a day just to know that they are where they are in case something happens to them. Seeing police cars can send me into a panic thinking that something is terribly wrong. The depression can be debilitating at times, and I feel like my life has spun out of control. My home, which was once where we all gathered in comfort, is now a place of hurt that Tristan is no longer there. The door to her room remains closed. It is exactly as she left it. Her bed is unmade. Her bath towel she used on May 8th is at the foot of her bed. The suitcase is still packed from the weekend before when we attended Summit with Infinity All-Star Cheer. I can't bear to change one thing, not even washing her clothes in the hamper, as it would wash away the scent of her. Many times I find our cat, who knows how to open Tristan's door, in her room as if she's just waiting for her to return. I do not know if we will ever have comfort in our home again. My children were once full of life and laughter, and now they are full of despair, anger, depression, PTSD, and anxiety. Bailey Family Fun Day was every Sunday in our home, a day where we would all come together and have a meal and spend time together. Sunday will never be the same for us, as we have a missing link in our family. The Sunday of May 9th, 2021 has made us dread every Sunday. How will it ever be whole again? Aiden Fucci, you have destroyed me. You have destroyed my family. You have destroyed Tristan's friends. You have destroyed the community that we live in. You have caused a divide amongst friends and neighbors that should have never been. You have taken away my baby girl, my past, my present, my future, by your calculated vile actions. I will never be able to watch her perform on stage with her cheer team. I will never see her win Summit or Worlds. I will never have our special weekends away, just the two of us. She will not be able to graduate high school or college. And her father will never be able to walk her down the aisle at her wedding. You have taken this all away from us. I will never understand the heinous choice you made that day or why my kind daughter was the one that you chose. I will spend the rest of my life grieving our beautiful daughter, longing to hear her voice and hold her in my arms. Aiden Fucci, your deplorable actions are unforgivable, and I will pray every day that you stay in prison for the rest of your life and never be able to harm anyone else in this world again. Your Honor, I plead with you. Please consider everything that he has done to our daughter and to our family. Aiden Fucci made a heinous decision on May 9th, 2021, and took the very life that I brought into this world. Please do not for one second think that he could be rehabilitated at any point. He is beyond saving. He should have to pay for his crime against my daughter. Justice is an empty word for our family, as it can never bring Tristan back, but justice is for society. And he should have life without parole. Thank you for everything that you've done in this case, and I know that you have really hard choices in front of you. I'm gonna be placing two rocks into this. This rock, this white stone, is for her sister, Sophia, who will never have the opportunity to be a big sister again, and you stole that from her. This last one is for me, and it represents everything that you have stolen from me, my words, my joy, my hope, my future, and my beautiful daughter.
Honor, we would call Forrest Bailey.
Good morning.
I know you have a letter to read. And we've heard a lot about the family impact this morning. If you would, just before you start your letter, kind of talk to the court about some of the acts of kindness and things that the community has done, in reaction to the loss and the sympathy that everybody feels for your family. Just if you could summarize just some of the wonderful things that have been done.
Yeah, no, certainly. And thank you for the chance to do so. You know, it's every day. I was out walking the dog this morning, and neighbor driving out of the neighborhood stopped and let me know that they were praying for us. And that's the type of community we live in St. John's. You know, I think it was immediate, as was shared. You know, we put out the notice. It was on social media. And, I mean, Mother's Day, there were families all over the place that dropped all of their plans, and they went out and they were looking. You know, and you heard in some of the statements, immediately after that week, there was a huge vigil in Durban Crossing the next day. The cheer gyms that she had participated in held vigils. There was a vigil, you know, a year after. A number of different sports programs have actually created awards to recognize the type of teammate that she was. You know, the businesses in the area have been phenomenal. They've, you know, provided my family with a safe place to go after, you know, after we had funerals, the celebration of life, you know, and the way that Celebration Church gave us that, and even local media in the way that they streamed it, because there were so many people that wanted to go, and giving space for really the teammates and the community to be there. So, you know, those things have happened, and those are the big events. I think the smaller things are the day-to-day. You know, there's a lot of people that still have bows on their homes to represent their support silently. We have people that have, you know, painted rocks, put rocks all over the world. There's just so much really good things that the community has done to keep her name and to make sure she's not forgotten.
I appreciate that. You have a letter today
as well? I actually have two. The first is, you know, to Mr. Fucci, February 6th, you finally admitted to your guilt in murdering my daughter, Tristan. After you clearly sat in this room and agreed to all of the questions and statements that were read by the judge and admitted that you knew what you were pleading to, at the end of that, you turned around, or you didn't even turn around, you made an apology. I want to be clear, saying that your insincere apology is not accepted. In no part did I sense any glimmer of any true remorse felt in your apology. Without question, I know that statement was for some self-serving purpose that you have. During all of the proceedings in which we've been present, including these past couple days, at no point in time have I seen anything from you that is any type of remorse. I loathe your very existence and know that there is nothing within you that reflects the smallest amount of goodness or human decency. Your Honor, Judge Smith, I know there's a lot of us, and I know you've had to listen to quite a bit. Foremost, I would like to appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to let us all speak, as well as the time that you're taking in reviewing the statements. The other thing is, you know, I understand that defendants have a right to waive a speedy trial, but I appreciate the fact that you've tried to keep this trial moving, because this is a necessary step for us to get through so that we can move on as a family as well. I like to think that for each of us that have presented or submitted impact statements to you, that's going to give us strength in the days to come as we continue to deal with the loss. I think that you've also heard many different aspects of Tristan when she was 13. Hearing from Bree yesterday, you recognize hopefully the type of teammate and the impact that she had and what she did with others. I'm sure that from Susan's comments, you can tell that she was the type of classmate and had an impact and, you know, helped people that needed that help. And those difficult middle school hallways was a smiling and welcoming face. What likely resounded with you even more were the impacts from Tristan's friends, both the adults and her contemporaries. She was an incredible person who was comfortable in her own skin and helped people find comfort within their own. The world is in short supply of people like that, and Tristan was needed. I want to step back and talk to you, and talk to you from the family's perspective once again. A little background on me. I am the very proud to be the son of Glenn and Lorraine Bailey. My aunts and uncles and cousins created such an incredible experience in my growing up. My dad was the fifth of eight children, and seeing the dynamic they had, I knew that was something I hoped for in my life, a large family. When Stacy and I met, she likely had no idea what she was getting into as an only child, yet no one could have been better as the role model of being a phenomenal mother to a large family. We were sure to tell each of our kids that a sibling can be a gift like none other. The relationship is so incredibly unique. I am so blessed to have children that treasure one another as well as mine do. I know you heard this from each of them that spoke today. Yet my daughter Sophia was not ready to do so, which I completely understand. It is an impossible task to ask her to summarize the loss of her sister. They had the most unique relationship. While so much has been shared on how Tristan encouraged others, Sophia likely was Tristan's biggest supporter and fueled her confidence. Sophia was always looking and taking care of Tristan. Sophia's biggest impact of losing Tristan will lie in the days and years to come. Sadly, I know the tremendous loss that they will have to bear in losing a sibling, as I lost my brother January 13, 2001. He is with me constantly, and the regret and unfulfilled plans we had together. Since Tristan was taken with us, I have not been able to look in on my parents as I should, just as it haunts me what my children are going to endure with the loss of their sister. So often our calls with my parents and with them trying to figure out any way that they can help, anything that they can do, yet they know that from the loss of my brother, I will carry Tristan's loss with me always. Within our family, Stacy does an impeccable job of dealing with the critical items that come in on the day-to-day. Oftentimes I'm brought in to deal with some of the bigger problems and find our path forward. I've always been able to fulfill that role until now. There are no solutions. There's just trying to move forward and carry her with us. During so many hard times, the advice to just breathe or realize that this too shall pass is appropriate. This will not pass. I can't even answer with certainty on how we'll continue to handle all the counseling and related bills that are some of the concerns, as we've had well in excess of $36,000 just in counseling related bills. You heard from one of her friends who keeps texting her cell phone. We still pay her cell phone every month because she has a lot of friends that are still sending messages to her. Throughout our married life, I've been able to look Stacy in the eye and assure her through any difficult time that everything will be all right, and it has. With respect to Tristan, I can't do that. It is all well known within my family that Stacy loves the early years with the kids. For me, it's always been that the older they get, the more they come to me. Yes, I love teenagers. Tristan and I would have some of the best conversations on the ride home from practice. Her view of the world was fascinating. She had such a keen focus on seeing the best within people. She also appreciated the importance of everything you have to invest on the path to your goals. You see, it wasn't just about the competitions. She loved practice. While she talked of being a doctor, the concepts she was learning were more important in our talks than the grades. The continued expansion of our relationship with our time together has been obliterated. Stacy and I feel directionless. We are so far behind on so many things in life, from the trivial to the important. Even our life path, such as when I will retire, is in complete disarray when the baby is taken from the family. I always figured when she graduated from college, Stacy and I could enjoy travels and looking in on our family wherever life took them. Now I just don't know. Just don't know about so many things. I've lost my sense of self. A good friend of mine who lost their son described feeling like a zombie. It is a description that has stuck with me, as that is what I feel like. Going through the motions, hoping that you get everything right. Even when you get assurances that you are, you just doubt it. Despite what anyone says, when you lose a child, your life becomes ongoing questions of doubt. The grief will not go away. Tristan's birthday every January 18th is going to hurt. Every Mother's Day, that sacred family day, will have its painful moments. Every May 9th will hurt to remember what happened to our Tristan. The anniversary dates are always difficult. As you know from the way too many parents that you've spoke to in your courtroom, the pain and triggers happen every day. Every day upon waking up is a cruel reminder that she is gone. Within our family, we had our tradition of Bailey Family Fun Day. No event in the world it was as dear to me as our family dinners, and everyone would make it there on Sunday. Every Sunday is filled with hurt as the day she was ripped with us from us. It hurts us to the core to sit in my chair at the head of the table and have our baby not in her chair, but in an urn sitting on a shelf in front of me. My dreams of enjoying the big family reunion similar to those I grew up with have been stolen from us. As I said before, every family holiday we know, Tristan should be there with us. Everything has that cast of what if over it. I am so proud of the resiliency and strength that my children have had since that day. Each of them have managed to have incredible accomplishments while going through this grieving process. It's difficult because it hurts to feel good without her here. And they have just been so incredible in continuing to move forward and carrying her with them. It's emotionally exhaustive to not allow the grief to overcome the positive. Your Honor, I'm hoping that you can see that he impacted all seven of us for life. I would also remind you of the testimony from the medical examiner that he essentially killed Tristan seven times. Six stabs that in and of themselves were lethal. The other 108 cumulative would have been lethal. From what Alexis and Stacy shared, you can only begin to imagine how the pain he put her through stays with us. Your Honor, we cannot turn back the hands of time so that we can have a different outcome. We cannot bring my Tristan back. We cannot even be certain that the sentence you give on Friday will not be impacted as part of the 25-year review process. Yet you can deliver justice for our community. He took Tristan's life. He impacted all Tristan's family for life. You've heard how he shattered the innocence of childhood so many in our wonderful community for their life and the lives of their children. He even damaged the sanctity of Mother's Day for so many for their lives. Please, Your Honor, take this into consideration when you have to make your decision. Lastly, I want to place this rock. And this rock represents the loss to our family and the world for all of the good Tristan would have done. Thank you for your time.
Your Honor, that's all of the statements to be read to the court. We'll submit a few more letters at some point throughout the day for the file.
All right. It's now 10:30. Why don't we take a 15-minute recess, and then the defense will begin.
That concludes the sixth segment in the sentencing of Aiden Fucci. Six of 11 segments. There's more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
Step into Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.